Welcome to the Path of Power with Galexis, the group of many who speak as one. And here to introduce you to Galexis is the channel, Ginger Metro.
And this is Ginger Metro, and I channel Galexis, who will speak with you today just in a couple of minutes. Galexis is a group of beings from various levels, dimensions, and even other star systems here in this universe who have come together and speak as one. Shortly, I will go into trance, and then Galexis will be with you. They will start by discussing a topic that they feel is timely, and then they'll open the mic and accept questions on that topic or any other topic of interest to you. Their focus is always to show you your path of power, the way you can take charge of your life, your mission, and your purpose. The number to call in on is 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. And this is in the U.S. or Canada. Check the BBS radio page on Channel 1 for other lines possibly available. And for more information on Galexis, or to get on the mailing list for newsletters, to see all the wonderful topics that Galexis has spoken on, their CDs, on, and also other essays and past newsletters available on the website, check it out at galexisspirit.com. And that's GalexisSpirit.com. Now I'll be going into trance. There will be a quiet moment, and then Galexis will be with you. So goodbye for now, and I'll return at the end of the program. All right, we are here, and we are Galexis. And welcome to our show, The Path of Power. We chose that topic because at this time on the planet, with so much change, with so much adventure of exploring and creating new realities, that it is imperative, if you want to create a reality that's of any substance and value and significance, a reality that's joyous and loving and full and rich and complete, you must have your power intact. You must own how powerful you are. You must be able to walk your path of power. Today we'd like to talk a little bit. Today we'd like to talk a little bit about power. We want to talk a little bit about how to grow up, in a sense, in a culture like this one, that does not encourage maturity. It does not encourage people to grow into adulthood, to be responsible people. It encourages people to explore the fulfillment of their adolescent lives. However, if you remember, when you were an adolescent, you were not very mature in your responses, reactions, your capacities to deal with life. Things were new. In a way, you were just getting used to being part of a society, part of a peer group, learning how to function, learning how to, in a way, present yourself, to present your self-image to the world. And you had barely come out of childhood. Childhood, of course, where all the focus was on I, me, mine. Selfish is a child, not intending to be malicious in that regard, but definitely selfish in the sense that for a child, their world revolves around them. All they know is what they desire and what they want. And as you get into adolescence, this ego of childhood gets twisted and banged and damaged by rejections, by humiliations, by hurts delivered to you by others, by exposures in class that you're not the, perhaps the smartest one, by your exposure in social situations as not being the coolest and most confident one. And so you learned a certain ways, your ways and means, your MO, so to speak, of how to function, how to, in a way, keep your immaturity hidden, try to appear mature, try to appear strong. And in the process of that, you ended up hiding a great deal of who you really are. You ended up hiding your dreams, your visions, your desires, your passions, your enthusiasms to a certain extent, because sometimes they were made fun of by others. Ridicule is a very painful experience. And ridicule was not only embarrassing, it's not only just unpleasant, but you're ashamed in front of others if you are ridiculed. You feel somehow excluded, excommunicated. Perhaps you'll be isolated, alone. You will not be able to belong. And belonging is a major desire and a major need of human beings. So in order to belong, you became their facade. You played the game. You learned the games. And then in your 20s, thrown into adult society or grown-up society, sometimes we can't even call it adult society, your youth, your vigor, your enthusiasm, also then to have to set up and arrange adult situations, earning income, taking care of bills, buying cars, houses, setting up situations so that you can have children and you can establish yourself, etc., etc., so that you can take part as an adult in your culture. But unfortunately for many people, being an adult is about behaviors. It's about having that house or that car or that steady job or having children. Adulthood is about, you know, being a member of the PTA or something of that sort, being a good member of the church or your spiritual group. But we want to point out that there are certain factors that actually determine your maturity much more so than what seems to be the symptoms of it, the adult symptoms. Your maturity is defined by your ability to know how to express yourself, how to express what you desire, how to go about negotiating with others for what you wish without, in a sense, infringement upon theirs, or without trying to control, dominate, manipulate them to give it to you. A mature person is a person who always opts for an egalitarian or equal relationship with another. There is a mutual respect that is implied in this type of relationship. That is an adult relationship. In that adult relationship, an adult will listen to the other person. They will take responsibility for the impact that they have on that person. Now, this does not mean that if you say something and someone's offended at you, and you take that you fix it and you adjust yourself so that they will be happy with you. That is not necessarily at all taking responsibility for the impact you have on them. That's basically taking responsibility for them. You want to take responsibility for what you do, but you're not here to make other people happy. That is a fantasy on the part of a teenager, an adolescent, who thinks that if they just make other people happy, that somehow or another they'll keep out of trouble and that they will be made happy by other people too. Perhaps in another beautiful reality, that may be the case. But you really came here for your own exploration, your own growth, and your own creative joy. And so an adult will always maintain that focus of awareness of why they're here or what they hope to achieve, to hold the dreams and visions of what they wish to bring about in their life. They don't tend to make up visions that are filled with agendas of image and performance. In other words, those people who have dreams and visions of being mega wealthy at an early age. Very often, these are compensations for the fear that perhaps they're not really worthy to be able to make the or draw to themselves the kind of abundance that they would like. Or sometimes they are fearful that they're not going to make it, and so therefore, let's try to get a facade that looks like we've made it, a facade of success. Then we'll impress other people. They won't know what's hidden deep inside. They won't know that we're faking it. There's a whole aspect of therapy for people to uncover the part of them that they think is faking it. Dear ones, you are beautiful light beings. You are very potentially beautiful and worthy and valuable all by yourself without even accomplishing or achieving anything. But in your culture, the agenda of success means that you've got to have a lot of money, you've got to look good, wear the right clothes. And so if you have this as your vision, this is your dream, this is the trappings of adulthood, this is the trappings of success, if I can get that several million dollars and then I can retire, then I won't have to answer to anyone. Then I can do what I want. Then I'll be free to do whatever. I'll be able to attract people who love me and care for me. I'll be able to have the life I want. A true adult will recognize that this is a facade. They will recognize that it is the trappings of success, but it may not be success itself. Success itself only comes when you're happy with you. A true adult loves themselves and values and honors and respects who they are. A true adult listens to their own inner voice. A true adult honors and respects other people's emotional states, other people's experiences, listens. You see, an adult is a free person. They are a free agent. They have the power to be who they are. A real true adult is extraordinarily powerful in their awareness. They know the distinction between adult and adolescent behaviors. They know the purposes behind these behaviors. And they are always in choice. They can choose what behaviors they choose, you know, whatever is available that they prefer. Now, they may at times actually choose a behavior. They may not look totally mature, but the adult will know that they're choosing it. The adolescent will choose it because it seems the hot thing to do, not aware of their own needs to get out of it or the purposes behind it. So an adult has a certain calculated awareness of themselves. They know how to have fun and be responsible at the same time. The true adult is the one who really has the greatest, most creative, most fulfilling, most adventurous, most love-filled life. So we wish for everyone that they should desire and yearn and strive for in their own way, without struggle, without pain, but with a sense of true motivation to step into their power, to step into choice, to step into a maturity of perspective. Doesn't mean you have to be serious and somber and work too many hours. It doesn't mean you have to be a slave to your family or to your mate. It doesn't mean that you have to sacrifice all the joys and the pleasures of youth. Adulthood has that and more. All the pleasures of adulthood are more fulfilling. All right, so at this point we would like to open the lines up for questions. As the channel spoke before, they gave the number. We'll just give it again here, 877-876-5227. So you're most welcome to call in and ask a question on this or any other topic of interest to you. But remember that if you find it more exciting to imagine yourself being naughty and getting away with something, or you find it very exciting or most intriguing, or the desire is to find someone to take care of you, someone you can lean on, you're not actually thinking the way an adult thinks. Yes, you may find a cozy situation where you can hide out and nobody will expose your potential flaws or your potential issues, but you won't have the same level of satisfaction unless you really own that this is a life you choose, enjoying your life, exploring your life, enjoying your life, and having a good time with it. That's what an adult can really do. There are, unfortunately, very few people who really truly live in their adult state all the time. Most people spend a lot of time waffling and weaving between child, adolescent, and adult. And sometimes they have fantasies that they are adult. They have the creative capacity. They have the seemingly have the power. But then when push comes to shove, they may retreat back into feelings of self-judgment and embarrassment and fear of failure and fear of what failure can do and how people would judge them and go into all that kind of adolescent stuff. You don't have to be there. You can be outside the system. For example, a man can be outside the pecking order. He can be outside the male hierarchy of the successful men all the way down to the losers. You don't have to be in that whole matrix. That's an adolescent matrix, actually, not an adult one. A lot of people look to, for example, men look to the military as a model, or look to football or some kind of team sport as a model. But nevertheless, that does not give you adulthood. It gives you a certain sense of adolescence. It gives you an us versus them quality in your life. An adult is very inclusive. An adult understands that everyone is pretty much made of the same material and is all going the same place, going towards happiness, towards greater love, and towards greater personal fulfillment. All right, so we have the lines are open. Is there anyone there? So give us a call if you would like to speak with us. And if we don't receive a call, then we will just close the program. But if you want to ask a question, please give us a call now at 877-876-5227. And we will be glad to discuss with you any topic of your interest. The path of power will continue for an adult to the very end of their life. And there's always the opportunity for a person who owns their maturity, owns their adulthood, to be able to grow into a greater and greater person, more magnificent, more brilliant, more profound, more successful, and indeed more loving. Indeed, by the time that you reach the end of your life, you will have completed your mission. All right, so there's a caller, and we'd like to say hello.
Yes, hi. My name is Tamara, and I'm very interested in...
Could you speak louder? I can hardly hear you.
Nicholas, who's 19.
We need you to speak louder. Can you speak louder?
My son is 19. His name is Nicholas.
All right.
I'm concerned about where to post him for placement.
What about placement, did you say?
Yes. Are you able to hear me?
We're having a difficult time, but if you can speak loudly and distinctly, it would help us. For some reason,
my
the sound quality
Tamara,
is not good.
And I'm interested in my son, Nicholas.
Yes.
He is in a temporary placement for, he needs to have 24-hour care due to being disabled. And I'm looking for a more permanent placement, and
yes.
I was wondering if you had any input on that.
All right. Well, the thing is that if he is disabled, then he's going to need to be in some place, right? He's got to have some place, right? And of course, you want one in which the staff is loving and supportive and helpful, right?
Yes.
All right. And the place where he is now is temporary, is it?
Yes.
All right. Okay, so are there any special, what you would say, by knowing him so well as being his mother, is there any kind of special emotional need that you think that would work best for him? That needs to be supplied.
Yes, it's emotion. He's mentally disabled.
Uh-huh, all right. All right, so he has, does he speak all right, or does he have difficulty?
He speaks all right, and he's delayed, so it takes him, you know, if you ask him a question, it can be a while before he can answer.
All right. Okay, and that's why he's in placement, yes?
He's multi-diagnosed. There's many, many diagnoses he has.
All right, and what's his birthday?
It's 12/23/1988.
All right, what city was he born in?
Santa Cruz, California.
All right, hold on a minute. We're going to tune in.
Thank you.
All right, when we tune into him, we see that there is in a way we have to explain it from the point of view of energy. He has a lot of facets to himself, and what happened is that as he came into this life, there are perhaps too many pieces of his spirit tried to come in at the same time, and what happened with that is that he does not have a centered consistency about himself, and as a result, his hearing, his seeing, his comprehending, his responding, his taste, touch, etc., his senses are not in sync with each other. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
All right. And so it takes him.
His father is. His father is a double personality. Would it be a similar sort of situation?
Right. Well, it. You know, there's a certain aspect of personality that was attractive to him, to your son, that yes, your his father had, and therefore he. He chose this for a genetics, but he basically tried to stuff too much of his spirit at one time into a body. And frankly, bodies just don't handle a lot of spirit. In fact, in order for you to really function well in this world, you have to put in just a very small minority or small percentage of who you really are into a body in order to function. You know, the great saints and the great mystics aren't you know, the full, totally realized beings, God beings, walking the earth, such as, you know, Jesus and Buddha and so forth, or people who could handle having more spirit in their body than other people, which really points out that strangely enough, even though your son it has a certain handicap in this life, he has a tremendous range of awarenesses that a lot of people don't have. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
All right. It's for him, the problem is coordination, because he's got to get all these parts coordinated. So we would recommend, as far as a placement program that would work really well for him, would be one in which people where the place is really good at coordinating the senses. Now, there are certain programs like that around the country for children, for example, who have this type of thing where they can't seem to coordinate the hearing and seeing and speaking all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of his discoordination, he's given himself a bunch of judgment. And of course, it would be nice if he got into coordination, then he would be able to release some of his judgments about himself or some of the low opinions that he sometimes holds about himself, and is actually able to then intuit and feel and sense information from other people, because right now he has so much input in and of himself, it's very difficult for him to process input that comes from other people. Are you aware of that?
Yes.
All right. But we don't sense that this is actually something that needs to be a permanently debilitating situation, because there is this possibility, and he holds it in his soul. There is a light there that says, if I can get this coordinated, if I can get these energies lined up, then I can bring so much more of myself and my wisdom and my knowing from other levels and other dimensions into this life.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so there's a potential there. Yes? What did you say?
Yes. Yeah. That sounds good. I'll
but you need to find someone who has that coordinated type of program.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome, dear one. Quite a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So that's very interesting. Some people do come in there. Some people come in with very small pieces, and then they're very focused, very clear about their lives. Some people come in with very little spirit. And it doesn't, size doesn't matter, but the amount of different aspects does. It's almost like in this particular case, Nicholas was bringing in more than one lifetime, in a way, to process. So it's quite an interesting situation. And some of you have brought in into your lives circumstances where you are working off issues or themes for more than one life. And so, please call in. The lines are open, but we just want to mention that if you do have a certain sense of distraction, and there just seems to be so much to take care of, that you're in lots and lots of overwhelm, it might be that you decided to take on a growth process in this lifetime that is a bit on the fast side. It's like we're going to go to Earth, there's time there, and when there's time, you can get on a fast track. All right, another caller, hello?
Hi, Alexis, how are you? It's Jenny.
Well, hello, Jenny.
Hi.
Hello, good to speak with you.
I feel kind of silly asking you such a question. I think so many women always have in mind what their romantic destiny is, and I wonder if you'd have any input into that.
All right. A romantic destiny for you, huh?
Yes.
I feel like
I have a great love or soulmate that I yet have to meet.
Ah, all right. Okay. Well, all right. As we, let's tune in there. Dear one, you haven't really decided whether or not you're really going to do it or not, whether you're really going to connect with this soulmate. And the decision has not really been fully made. Now, there's a part of you that knows about it, feels it, yearns for it. Almost feels like, you know, he's almost there, right?
Yes.
Right. And then there's another part, but we want to point out, there's another part of you that has been single for a while, but this is the part of you that left the last relationship. Do you remember the ending of the last relationship?
Definitely.
All right. Was it a pleasant experience or not?
Not at all.
Right.
Are they ever, Alexis?
Well, this part of yourself said to herself, I'd rather be alone than be in a really yucky, unpleasant, messy kind of relationship. Do you remember that?
Yes.
All right. Well, this self is the one that's kind of holding off on making the decision.
Yes.
All right, because this part of you is saying, oh boy, what if, you know, I tracked my soulmate, and what if it's a messy relationship? What if it's awful? Oh my gosh, you know, because you see, there's these ideas about what a soulmate relationship is. a lot of people think it's a relationship where you don't have to do any work at all. Other people think it's a relationship and where it's a totally fated kind of thing, and there's just, you know, you're just kind of driven with it. It's just this incredible thing just pulls you along and you don't have to do anything. And other people think that the soulmate is their other half. But we want to point out, you know, a soulmate is not your other half at all. Your soulmate will only come to you when you're at the functioning level where, number one, you can choose to function at a very high, personally beautiful, powerful, and loving space, regardless of what other people around you do. And two, that you don't expect this soulmate to be a perfect person, all right, where you can expect that your soulmate is going to come into your life on the same level that you are. In other words, the two of you, from where you meet, will grow together, and there will be challenges, because many times those of you here coming onto the planet are doing what is known as templating. You're creating new patterns for relationships. And it may be that you're drawing to yourself someone with whom you have an exceptional magnetic bonding and connection from other experiences, other levels, other lifetimes. And that you have a desire to spend a lot of focus changing the way men and women relate to each other, or that lovers relate to each other, regardless of which sex they are. That just to create a new template of loving relationship. Now, the part of you that is not sure whether she has decided or not that it's going to be worth it to really open up to a relationship also is the one that's not sure that if you had this fantastic relationship plop in your life that you wouldn't just kind of drop everything else and just pay and focus obsessive attention to it. Now, have you thought about how you would maintain the integrity of yourself, how you would maintain the flow of your desires, your significance, your awareness of yourself, your power, your strength, your beauty, your talents, your creativeness, your visions and dreams with another person? Have you looked at that?
Yes, I think I am so ready. I am bursting with love, not just for men, but for everybody. I think that I love myself, and I love myself enough to know that I will never give into a relationship where one loses oneself, which I think most women tend to do in a marriage.
Right.
That no longer will happen.
Good, good, because
I am grounded, I am successful, and which I wasn't before, and I sort of came out of the ashes.
That's
and
right.
I want a conscious man. That's what I want. Very simple.
Right. and if you get this conscious man, you actually promise to yourself that you will not get distracted from your center, right?
Yes, and I think that that's one of the reasons that part of me that you say is still holding back is because I am so certain of the fact that I only want it to come when it will be a full relationship where I can be myself.
Right. Well, that way you know that you have the feedback that if he is not yet here, that maybe you're not quite there yet. We would say that you need to have a negotiation with this part of you. You need to kind of get all the different opinions about this, about soulmates, all the parts of you that have different beliefs about it, and specifically to get the part of you that's still a teenager that's yearning for the totally fulfilling, fantasy, perfect relationship, and get you all around the table and negotate this thing.
Yeah. I'm so far from those teenage years. I don't know. I just feel like a very centered person.
Well, that's true. You are. But, dear one, you don't learn to swim on dry land. You don't know where all your relationship issues are until you have a relationship. That's just one of the strange things about it. You can look at the relationships you have had, and you can evaluate them and learn from them and look at the patterns and look at how you responded and look at what you did and look at how you participated in the messiness of a relationship. so that you can learn from it, yes.
I think it's a dance. I don't think it's one person. And that's
of course.
And there are two sides in any relationship, whether they're breaking up or whatever, because you choose to be there because you're getting something from it.
All right.
So
yes, you are.
Sure.
And so the negotiation we would suggest that you make with your, this reluctant self is to make the choice that you're willing to have a relationship, even if it is messy, so that you can personally really experience everything you want to experience in a relationship. Now, when you make a choice of that, you're not choosing to have a messy relationship, but you're choosing your priority is to have a relationship. Because, number one, if you choose that, you will start to beacon out there a message to your universe, I'm available. Right now, the message that goes out from your control tower is, I'm not sure if I'm available, and I'll let you all know. I'll post you when I know. All right? This does not attract a lot of people.
Right.
All right? And the people that you may attract at first may not seem at all like a soulmate. You see?
No.
And so it's being very important for you to realize that what you're learning in that is how to stand up for yourself, how to stay centered, and you're basically in training for the relationship that you want. Now, when you do that, when you hold yourself in love, in your presence, and honoring yourself, and so forth, and standing up for yourself in a relationship, if it's not the right relationship for you, it will fall by the wayside. But you will have built a lot of light, a lot of love, a lot of strength, and a lot of power that, as a resonance, will be larger and brighter so that you can attract someone who is larger and brighter.
Well, that's what has been happening. I've been letting a lot of people go by the wayside. And I keep thinking, if I keep going this way, I'll be an old lady with no one. Because not that I'm really picky, but it's just that I'm not clicking. I don't find people exciting or intelligent enough, or I just don't find anything. I'm not finding it.
All right.
So
but that's because you're
blocking.
Not. Your decision is not really clear yet.
Yes. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
You've got parts of you that are willing to pull back and judge the person.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you're willing to judge, you're not going to get him.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So if he's not smart, smart enough, and you feel disappointed, and then you're going to, oh well, I need somebody who's smarter. You need to have a really serious discussion with your adolescent self, your inner adolescent, because she's the one that wants them to fulfill all these needs for you. A really smart one, so we have great conversations. Oh, and a really gorgeous bod, and we have great sex, and then he's got to have this and this, and she's going to line up a long list. So you've got to make sure that before you let anyone go, that you get the adolescent out of the relationship entirely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that, because she's the one that's judging.
Right.
You, the adult, you, the grown-up, you're not the one judging particularly, but you'll be the one who will end up disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, if you're still willing to let her do some of that judging and fantasy energy in there, looking for the perfect man, and then you're going to keep getting men who just don't seem to, you know, be this conscious man. There are men who are conscious, but you have to realize they're going to have... there's a certain type of issue that every man is going to have, and you're going to have to go through it with them.
I didn't think I was doing that since I was allowing all different types of men from all different types of socioeconomic ranges in my life, trying not to do that. But I have to check into that, I guess.
All right. Well, if you want to see where it's most visible, then you would look at where you have let them go, and what you think in your rationale. Why did you let them go? That's where you'll probably find it.
You know, I want to ask you a question about what you were saying earlier, because I was thinking to myself as you were saying, oh, and not to me, in general when you were speaking at first, that once you become an adult, you'll have relationships where you respect yourself. And I was thinking, there are so many different types of relationships in our world where... it may be judged that is not an adult relationship. Relationships where people have open relationships, and another person will think, well, I don't think that's very respectful of oneself. Or relationships where people choose to live with a mate where there is no physical interaction, they're just friends. Is that respect? There's so many types of relationships.
Yes, there are. It depends on you. You want a relationship that matches your temperament and what you want in a relationship. It's important, of course, not to evaluate or judge people who want another relationship or another style relationship, but it's certainly helpful for you to find a person who is wanting and desiring the same style as you.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no judgment, because some of those open relationships can be just as beautiful and fulfilling if they're done right as a normal, heterosexual marriage, right? So,
right.
And there's all sorts of different kind of relationships. There's different balances between the partners, and of course there's gay relationships, and there's bi relationships, and there's, as you said, friendships that marriages as friendships. You know, it depends on the people.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to be very clear what it is that you desire without any judgment at any other form.
Thank you, Alexis. Thank you for your time.
You're certainly welcome.
And your vision. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. We've enjoyed speaking with you, and we wish you well on this. You know.
Thank you.
When you get this issue resolved, everyone, you'll find that the broadcast that goes out from your tower that says, you know, it's I'm available. Hello, world. Yeah, I'm available. It'll bring in a different it's a different frequency, and it'll bring a different type of person.
Right.
All right.
Thank you, Alexis. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Thank
bye-bye.
You.
Thank
mm-hmm.
you. Bye.
All right. The lines are open now for anyone else. And again, it's 877-876-5227. There are very interesting ideas that a society will have about what's proper, what is mature, what is good, what is bad. But one of the things that people who really mature in a spiritual way, as well as they're in a totally adult capacity, will find that their whole sense of judgments, the whole sense of right and wrong, comes down not to what you're taught by, you know, in your social mores, not what you're taught by your parents or what you learned in your religious training or whatever, but it comes with how much that within yourself it's true to you, it's honoring and respecting of you and of the other person at the same time, that the two of you can negotiate and find win-win situations for each other. It's very important to realize that a relationship that's based on mutual caring and sharing and respect is the one that's going to work out, and it's going to be the mature one and the loving one. All right, hello.
Hello, Galaxis. How are you?
Very good, dear one.
This is Brian from Indiana.
Oh, well, hello, Brian. What a pleasure to speak with you. And what would you like to discuss?
I would appreciate it if you could tap into my energy field and take a look at those, what we call angelics or spirit guides, those who are around me.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would particularly like to know is who exactly is around me, the strongest, that comes close to my aura field.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, as we see it right now, you have quite a few of them. However, one of the things is we can see that part of your spiritual path is for you to come into connection with these beings. And you
yes.
know that, right?
Yes, I do.
And it's for you to work with them, for them and you to be able to commune and to love and to mutually support and care for each other, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we are not going to tell you their names and those kinds of things, because these are things that they ask if you're on a path of connection with spirit and you have beings of this light magnitude with you. It's imperative, in a sense, that you meet them through your own experience.
Ah,
all right? And because we get a very strong signal from this type of setup that we are not to intervene, and because in a sense if we did that, it would be that you wouldn't flex your own psychic muscle enough.
Ah, I see.
It would kind of be
like you
take a shortcut and you wouldn't trust your own perceptions.
Yes, yes.
So here's what we would suggest is for you to do a meditation in which you imagine them We would say, just start with imagining three brilliant golden angels. All right?
Yes,
because we sense there's...
Yes, I wanted something to focus on in meditation, something, their energy field. That's kind of why I was asking.
Right.
So
we would suggest you focus on it this way, and you take them one at a time, and you just let yourself open to imagining what they would look like if they took human form.
Oh, I see.
Okay? But now, normally, when you look at a human being, you look at their face first. Don't.
Right.
Do something that's a little different, so that you're letting your right brain work here. Because your left brain is going to look immediately for the recognition factor.
I guess the way that I look at it is a spirit being is one that takes a form but doesn't have, it's like a ghostly form in a way.
No, well, we would
suggest,
imagine, if you would, a kind of a radiant three-dimensional form of a human being, looking like a human being, wearing human kind of clothes or something, or maybe ET kind of clothes, whatever comes to your imagination. The important thing here is that you stretch your imagination. Now, we want you to know, imagination is an access into fifth dimension.
Okay.
And they're fifth dimensional. Okay, they're on the other side of the fourth dimension, which is time-space. They don't have time and space.
Yes.
All right? So if you use your imagination, it's like you're putting out you're touching their dimension. Now, let yourself imagine it. Trust that you're going to get something. Make it up, okay?
Yes.
Even if you make it up, just make it up and just see them start with by looking at, let's say, their hands. Okay?
Yes.
All right. And look at what they're wearing on their feet. Okay, and then look at if they're wearing something around their neck. And before you look at their face.
Okay.
And look, you can tell whether male or female, how old they come to be, and what kind of clothes they wear, if they're wearing Grecian clothes or clothes from extraterrestrial, or they're wearing a business suit or whatever. All right?
Yes.
Okay, so once you get that, then give them a gift.
When you were talking of gifts before, I wasn't sure, is this more of an energy exchange, like a gift of just love, or what?
No, you visualize something. You visualize something. You know, an object.
Yes.
Give them an object of something. Just,
okay.
It's a symbolic representative of energy, but it has a form.
Yes.
So give them a flower or a rock, like a crystal, or give them something. Just give them something.
See.
You know, anything that occurs to you, and let them give you something. And once you've had an exchange, ask them their name.
Okay.
And then just listen. And
this
if you don't get any, then don't worry about it.
So
then do it again some other time.
So this is where trust comes in.
Yes. Actually what happens is, as you keep stretching your imagination, and this is an issue that most people have to grapple with and don't get at the beginning, imagination being a fifth plane connection, that if you were to then imagine, a certain form, and then the next time you want to stretch and you want to connect with the same angel or whomever, and you imagine the same form, and you set out to do that, and then it's a little different, then you know that what they're doing is that they're ooching your imagination.
They're shaping the form.
They're shaping your imagination,
yes.
Yes. They're giving you different feedback. And this is a very good sign, because what you eventually will get a personification image of them that is as accurate energetically to them as, let's say, your body is to your spirit.
Yeah, it's in a way, it's like, I know these shape forms in what we call the mind, but I always want to know what their true form was. So that's why I try to picture it and try to grasp that accuracy.
All right. Well, you start out with your imagination, and over time, as you develop a more intimate relationship with them and communicate with them and ask them questions and try to listen for answers, then as you kind of try to continue the communication with them, you will see modulations of form and so forth that will represent an increasing complexity and detail and specificity that is unique to them and you. and then you can trust more and more what you're perceiving has a certain sense of accuracy. But we want to point out that some of these beings that you may be working with, and for example, you know, we call them angels just because most people like to call them angels, but they may not necessarily be in the angelic kingdom at all. They could be from Arcturus, or they could be an ascended master, or they could be a higher aspect of yourself of some sort. So you won't know at the beginning until you start to develop a relationship with them. And the object here is to develop a real relationship with them.
And
so that if they are as real to you as a person you know in the physical plane that you can communicate with. And by the time you get to that point, you will really truly trust your intuition. You'll trust the input that you get. And because they see that you are paying attention to the form and the shape and so on, they will make sure that the frequency is as accurate as it can be. So that you can get the most accurate responses from them, you see?
Yes, yes.
Now, we want to point out that some of them do not have forms that are that would be familiar to you in their, what, most natural state. And actually, in their most natural state, they don't have any form, really. They're
just
kind of like light.
Yes.
And there may be kind of swirly. You know, if you've heard of people who see auras, they can see just swirls of lights and colors and all sorts of things.
Yes,
that's more of what they really look like.
Ah, okay.
You see, but they know that for you to be able to have a relationship with them from your human place, that they, if they, then for your benefit, they will take on a human form that most accurately represents the frequencies and dynamics that they have. So that you can get a kind of sense, because, you know, there's certain personalities that are very masculine and dynamic, so then you would be seeing a form that is a strong masculine form. Or you may find a very nurturing kind of soft feminine form, and then energy, and that form would be, you know, reflective of that, you see?
Is my energy field pretty much balanced between the masculine and the feminine energy? Do I have a lot of that around me?
Okay, as we look out your energy field, we would say that you have roughly about 55-45, 55 being actually feminine energy. You've got more feminine than masculine. However, the energy power focus in this particular lifetime is in the masculine.
Yes, yes.
So your masculine side may be more intense and bright than your feminine aspect.
Mm-hmm.
But you have extra feminine so that you can have more sensitivity, more awareness, more intuition, etc.
I see.
All right, Derwan?
I thank you.
You're very welcome, and we wish you very well in this wonderful, it's such a rewarding journey to communicate with those who love you on the other side.
There
are actually so many more of them, but if you can work with maybe one, two, maybe three, you know, it's you have the limitation they don't, but it can be so rewarding. Thank you, dear one.
Thank you. God bless.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. And thank all of you for listening to us. We're going to leave now and return it to the one who channels us, who will give the closing announcement. It's been a pleasure speaking with you. And for now, farewell. Okay, this is Ginger, and I'm back, and thank you for listening to Galexis, and for those who called in, thank you. For more information on Galexis, please check out the website, galexisspirit.com. There's lots of information there, and some wonderful topics that Galexis has spoken about and taught people about, with processes and experiences that you might want to enjoy. There's also a newsletter to sign up for and a mailing list, and we can notify you of events and all sorts of interesting things. So I hope you will check us out. And also just to remind you that next week is the first Monday of the next month, and the Galexis show is on the first and third Monday, and so we will be with you again next Monday. The second and fourth Mondays of the month are with Tall Cat Psychic, but for now we want to say goodbye, but we'll be back here again next Monday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time on Channel 1 on bbsradio.com. And thank you so much for listening. And still, till next time, stay in your power as you walk the path of power. All right. So long.